So last Sunday, Father Brian and I began a three-part homily series on Jesus Christ, who is priest, prophet, and king. All right, and Jesus fulfills the mission for which God the Father sent him in this threefold way. He does so as priest, that is, he offers his life as a sacrifice for yours, thereby reconciling you to the Father. Jesus does so as prophet, that is, he proclaims the liberating truth of the gospel amidst a world that's often full of lies and deceit. And Jesus does so as king, that is, he governs and orders your life so as to live in accord with that saving truth, that is, if we let him be king and let him reign in our hearts. Last week, we began by reflecting on your own personal relationship with Jesus, and if you've allowed to have our Savior do his saving work in your life in each of these three ways. We focused on the question of whether or not you've allowed him to do his priestly work in your life, and the test of whether or not you've allowed him to do his priestly work in your life is if you are living your own life in a priestly way. She's saying yes. If you miss that homily and seeing yourself as a priest sounds strange to you, please go to our website and listen to that initial homily. So this Sunday, what we want to focus on is that second munus, that second office of Jesus, that is the anointed office of prophet. So we're going to explore whether or not you have allowed Jesus to do his prophetic work in your life. And again, the test of whether or not you've allowed him to do his prophetic work in your life is if you yourself are living your own life in a prophetic way. What exactly does that mean? What does it look like? A prophet obviously prophesies, that is, he proclaims. One of the primary functions of a prophet is to proclaim or foretell what is to come. But a prophet simply doesn't foretell what's to come. There's a specific subject matter of a prophet. And the prophet proclaims divine truth. The prophet reveals the will of God. And this matters because the world often gets it wrong, doesn't it? Obviously, we just look around at our society. We don't need to look very far to see how the human family has gone astray. And so the prophet reveals God's desire to save humanity from its own destruction and urges us, to whom he's given a free will, every one of us, to follow his ways rather than reject them. And that's what got the human family into trouble in the first place, is rejecting God's ways. This role of the prophet is what we hear today in the gospel, specifically the prophet of Daniel. The prophet Daniel, he foretells a vision similar to what St. John gives in the book of Revelation, the last book of the Bible, that reveals to us what happens in the end times, right? Quote, "At that time there shall arise Michael, the great prince, guardian of your people. It shall be a time of unsurpassed distress." Sometimes it can feel like we're living those times. Just as Jesus reveals that the final judgment will entail a separation of people into the sheep and the goats, so too Daniel reveals that there are two potential ultimate fates among the resurrection of the dead. And he doesn't mince any words. He says, "Some shall live forever," he says. "Others shall be an everlasting horror and disgrace." See, there's no compulsion in love. God doesn't force, right? He's not going to force you to live with him for all eternity and eternal happiness. We can choose to go our separate ways with God. Daniel does end on a very positive note. He gives us the vision for which we all should strive, right? "The wise shall shine brightly like the splendor of the firmament, and those who lead the many to justice shall be like the stars forever." That's the destiny God desires for each of us, to shine as brightly as stars in everlasting splendor. So the prophet is sent to do a wake-up call, to be a wake-up call, reminding us of our purpose and destiny, which we can easily lose sight of amidst the busyness and distractions of the world, right? And so the prophet says, "Get rid of the distractions, because you may wake up one day and realize when it's too late that your life wasn't about what God created your life to be about." and you chose rather a world of your own making, the consequences of which you will reap. So the prophet is often unpopular because the divine wisdom the prophet offers calls out our selfishness. And the prophet challenges worldly wisdom. What does God say through the prophet Isaiah? For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. Bishop Robert Barron told a story of a friend of his who showed him a cartoon that appeared in the New Yorker magazine. Now, when Bishop Barron first saw the cartoon, he didn't get it. He didn't understand why the cartoon was so funny. But his friend explained it to him. He explained the author's intent behind the cartoon. See, even though Bishop Barron was looking at the exact same thing that his friend was seeing, he needed to see the cartoon in order to understand it. He needed to see it according to a specific pattern intended by the author of the cartoon. Right? So Bishop Barron shared this story in order to make an analogy about the calling of the prophet. The prophet is the one that reveals God's patterns of grace at work. Right? At work in the world. Everyone sees the same world around us, but we all see it through our own limited understanding. And maybe we don't get it, right? So we just conjure up ways in which we try to make sense out of it. But like that friend who knew the intent of the author of the cartoon, the prophet is the one who sees the world according to the patterns of grace, who sees the world according to the patterns of its maker. Because that prophet has been chosen by God to be the bearer of his divine truth. And so, because we humans often have a skewed view of the world, the prophet is often seen as the purveyor of paradox, right? That is, a prophet will often say something seemingly absurd or self-contradictory, but when illumined by grace, proves to be true. Paradox, as G.K. Chesterton said, is truth standing on her head to get attention. The prophet is the purveyor of paradox because what Jesus himself said and did were often paradoxical. Some of the examples of Jesus himself, what? You are to give in order to receive. You are to put on Jesus' yoke in order to be free. You are to walk by faith, not by sight. You are to surrender so as to conquer. You are to serve so as to reign. It's the master who washes the feet of the servant. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. See, Jesus turned the ways of the world upside down. But that's because in man's effort to try to be God without God, it was really man that turned God's ways upside down. We, in our arrogance, often beg to differ. And if it's not our arrogance of thinking we know better than God, we can at least be stubborn and dense. And so when we who are steeped in the ways of the world view the world in this skewed way, we'll always see the prophet, at least initially, as a little off, right? Or maybe even off his rocker. But in the craziness, as the craziness around us manifests itself, we end up realizing that it's the prophet that sees the world rightly. And so that's why Jesus is the prophet par excellence, right? The second person of the Trinity, is the very word uttered by God the Father from all eternity. And it is this eternal word that becomes visible to us in Jesus Christ. He not only came to utter the truth, Jesus is the truth, the way, and the life. And guess what? You as Christian, you as part of the anointed body of Christ are called to be prophetic. You are to be a prophet, a witness to divine truth, a bearer of God's wisdom. Listen to what St. John Paul the Great says about you, the lay faithful, and your prophetic calling. Quote, through their participation in the prophetic mission of Christ, the lay faithful are given the ability and the responsibility to accept the gospel in faith and to proclaim it in word and in deed. They are also called to allow the power of God, of the gospel, to shine out every day in their family and social life. So what you do day in and day out in your family life, and what you do day in and day out in your social life with your friends and family, is prophetic. Those actions are prophetic. That is, they witness to the world of God's beauty, God's goodness, and God's truth. Now you may be thinking, me, a prophet? I can't picture myself being a prophet. But what a prophet does is actually a very universal, natural human inclination. Let me ask you this. What happens after something really good happens to you? You want to share it, right? Don't you want to share whatever that good thing is that happened to you? You want to proclaim it, and if it's really good, you get out a woo and let the whole world know. What did you do after you and your fiancé, right after the marriage proposal? You told people about it, right? You shared the good news. And so, one final example for how being prophetic, it's a very natural human inclination. Here we are spending billions of dollars to find a cure for cancer, something that will enable us to live, you know, a few more decades at best. What will happen should a discovery of a cure be found? It'll be all over the headlines, right? All over TV, all over Facebook, all over Twitter, because people want to share good news. Well, brothers and sisters, we have been given not just some good news, but in the gospel, we literally have been given the good news that won't just allow us to live a few more decades, but will allow us to live for eternity in complete happiness. Happy forever, because God's love is inexhaustible. And even the eternal now cannot exhaust him. In God is the fulfillment of every desire. That's good news. And yet we're not excited to proclaim it. Why? Remember that you are Christ the prophet. Both in your words and in your deeds, you proclaim the good news, especially since the world is filled with so much noise other than God's prophetic voice. We recognize the need for good news in people's lives. If people don't hear and see it from folks who are like themselves, who work with them and play with them, then all they will ever hear about the gospel are what comes from those tacky televangelists, right? Who often don't proclaim the fullness of the gospel, or proclaim a prosperity gospel that's not the fullness of the truth. Then, if we leave it just to that, their folks are even less likely to ever step inside this church. People need a personal invitation from someone they know and they trust. That's what it comes down to. And that familiar and trustworthy voice is you. We all know that no amount of marketing can replace personal invitation. To live who you are is to live as a prophet, one who proclaims the good news in word and in deed. And it's that final aspect of being a prophet I want to emphasize. You proclaim the good news not just in your words, but in your deeds, in your life of holiness. Right? Saints radiate. They're like prophets just by walking in the room. Right? As a prophet, you're called not only to proclaim the truth, but like Jesus did, to embody the truth. And Jesus and his church needs you and your witness more than ever. Right? During this time of painful purification of the church, when even a number of our shepherds are resisting the needed purification. I'll be writing a bulletin article more about how disappointing it was to see the Vatican block the substantive accountability measures for our bishops that were placed upon our priests in 2002 that radically reduced sexual abuse, right? And so that those accountability measures were to be voted on by the American bishops in their gathering last week. measures that our own Bishop Earl Boyer and most U.S. bishops were very supportive of and ready to pass. But on Monday, the Vatican sent a communique. She's not happy about it either, right? A communique that halted the vote. The reasoning was that Pope Francis will be addressing the mishandling of the clergy scandal in February, when he will have a special gathering with all the leaders of the bishops' conferences, specifically on this topic. And Pope Francis wants all subsequent actions of accountability concerning bishops to reflect what's decided there. But we would rather have actions taken now and then tweak those measures later if necessary, because enough is enough. No more delays. Sorry, I had to get that off my chest. Anyway, to close on this segment of Christ the Prophet, the world needs to know through your witness to the people around you that the Judases of the church don't determine who the church is. Jesus does, right? And that is why the gates of hell will never prevail against her. Jesus is the one who transforms lives, and he offers his healing, his salvation, his divine truth, and his very self to you and to me through the sacramental life of the church. It will be your prophetic voice in the world by which that good news is made known.